The following is a North Carolina Baptist resource. For more, visit ncbaptist.org.
Let me give you some context. I'm not talking about all ethnic group. I'm talking more of a Asian perspective right now. But I may talk a little bit about Hispanics, but mostly about Asians. There are 130 Asian churches and ministries in North Carolina. And currently, there are 27 different Asian languages that are spoken on Sunday morning worship service. But we still have a lot long way to go because there are at least more than 200 different languages spoken in North Carolina among Asian groups, right? And there are 300,000 Asians living in North Carolina, and there are about 1 million Hispanics. So we're about one-third of Hispanics. But when you look at the world population, Asia takes a whole chunk of people because, you know, China alone, they takes about one-sixth, one-fifth of whole world population. Now, I have four objectives and four ways to help churches, especially for Asian churches, A, B, C, D, so that it's easy to remember. A is to help churches to advance gospel proclamation, so that the Asian churches will be intentional preaching and teaching the gospel, Christ-centered preaching, Christ-centered teaching. The second one, B, is building disciple-making strategy. Asian churches are really busy. Most of our pastors are bivocational, and it's very challenging to spend time with all congregations to develop, foster the discipleship. So there needs to be some sort of strategy to make it more productive and effective. C is connecting first-generation immigrants and their descendants for the Great Commission. Now, if you look at immigrant family, whether it's a Hispanic, Ukrainian, Asian families, we have a very common issue, which is this: first generation, second generation. First generations are those who just came or who speak English as a second language because they still keep up their own mother tongue. But their second generation, their next generations, they were born here, they grew up here, so they are Americans, technically. They're American citizens. We call them, in the Asian context, we call them bananas. They look yellow outside, but inside they're white. They're redneck. They're redneck inside. Seriously, right? Yeah? So his son drives truck, right? Yeah. So that's how diverse it is, even among the family. For example, I'm from South Korea. I speak Korean to my kids at home. My kids, all of them, speak back to me in English. That's how we communicate. So two languages are spoken even at home. And how much more at home? I mean, in the church. So first generation pastors are preaching in their own language, but second generations, sometimes they don't understand. Maybe half of them would be pretty good, but many of them say, I have no clue what my pastor is speaking. So think about the spiritual condition of the second generation, next generations. So I really do see the need of connecting them, first generation, second generation. How can we glue them? It is the gospel of Christ with the same mission for the Great Commission. And I see that's happening. So it's not just dream. It is doable, but it's necessary, needed. D is a developing leadership pipeline so that if C happens, D will naturally flow so that the ethnic churches will have future. So the next generations will take the baton and continue the ministry. So that's the four ways. Please remember this ABCD, and please pray for this as well. Now, ethnic churches, I think they are a strategic partner. I mean, think about this. Let's say you have Burmese community 2 miles down the road from your church, and you want to reach out to them with the gospel of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. All for it. But you don't speak their language, and you have no clue how to, should I cook Carolina barbecue for them, or what should I do? You know, you have no clue what to do. But just think outside of the box. There are ethnic churches that God has brought here, not just ethnic communities, but also ethnic, the Christian believers, brothers and sisters, and they're right here. So maybe this would be the first step to identify what God has brought in our area. If there is Burmese church, if I were you, I would connect with this Burmese church first and then talk with them and brainstorm how we can work together to reach Burmese community, because Burmese churches, they speak their language. They cook their food. They know their forte, sweet spot, everything. They understand everything, right? So I would work with these ethnic churches to reach the community. Now, this is the statistics. They came out probably about 7 years ago, so I think it's different now, but pretty accurate. Percentage growth in Asian American population by state. North Carolina is ranked as number 3 out of 50 states. Asian population is growing like crazy. I live in Raleigh area. It is crazy. Every day the traffic is crazy, 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 crazy. And I mean, it's exciting. You see a lot of people coming in from the New York and different states, but also different countries. A lot of Asian people. So I don't want to overgeneralize, but Asian people are normally smart. They work for the IT companies and all that kind of stuff. So they're coming. God is bringing those people here. Now, so what's some strategy to partner with ethnic churches? I think there are 4 steps and basic, very foundational. First one is this: identity ethnic communities in your area. That's the first thing you need to do. You want to reach out to them. You want to know who they are. Second, identify and understand ethnic churches in your area, just like I said a minute ago. Third, develop a relationship with ethnic churches. Fourth, reach the ethnic community together for Christ. Very simple, isn't it? Understand, develop, and reach the community. So let's go one by one quickly. Identify ethnic communities in your area. So I listed some ideas that you can spot who's your neighbor, right? Who your neighbor is. Number one, try to find out the ethnic businesses in your area. The best way is to find out where the ethnic restaurants are. Like, where is the Chinese restaurant? That's the first step to go, right? Because it looks like everyone loves Chinese food. Where's the Thai food restaurant? Where's the Indian restaurant? It's just try out. I mean, everyone has to eat, right? Do you agree with me? But sometimes you want to try something new. So you just go and visit them and see what kind of food they have. And, you know, you can rate and, you know. But it's the best way to start, restaurants. And then move on to the next one, like grocery stores. You'll be surprised if you Google up in your area. You may find out there's Oriental grocery stores. When you go to Oriental grocery stores, you can see not just one ethnicity, but normally they put maybe at least about 5 or 6 or 7 different nationality ethnicities there. For example, like Indian grocery stores, they include Pakistan, Nepal, Sri Lankan, and all these people. So that's a very strategic place. When you go to this marketplaces, groceries, you can see people from those different countries. So what a great place. I mean, if you travel to those countries, you have to buy 1,000 airplane tickets, if you're lucky, and you have to go through all the language stuff, but you can just find out, you can meet them right in your backyard. So ethnic businesses. Number 2, ethnic multi-housing. A lot of refugees, immigrants, they come here. By the way, I pastor in a church predominantly with refugee people. And my friend just came in. He's from Congo. I work with this pastor, Pastor Samuel. But anyway, in a few months, we're going to plant East African church with him. But it's amazing that this many people living together in 1 or 2 or 3 multi-housing apartments. So with my refugee congregations, we sometimes go out to their apartments and try to reach out to their people. It's almost like when I step into their apartment complexes, it's almost like I stepped into their country. They all speak in their languages, and they're living in their lifestyle. It's amazing. So, yeah, apartments. Where are the refugee apartments? Where are the apartment complexes that you can see people from different countries? Find out those places. It will be a very strategic idea to do that. Schools. I have four kids. My oldest one is 18. Second one, 14. Next one, 11, almost 12. Youngest one is 9. So they're in college, high school, middle school, elementary school. I'm a busy dad. Anyway, all those schools have a bunch of kids from all different countries. It is amazing. It is amazing. The Lord has brought the world in our schools. So I use my kids, I train my kids to share the gospel so that they can, you know, bring the gospel to the nations. My third one, he was riding the yellow bus, school bus, and he was sitting right next to a Sri Lankan boy, and my son shared the gospel and led him to Christ. That kind of things happening. Of course, the school are changing rapidly. My son goes to high school, Wake County STEM Early College. It is very, very atheist. My son was trying to create Christian club, but it was denied because there's no Christian faculty. So that's what's happening. The school environment is very anti-Christian. But when we disciple our kids to engage with their students, their friends, with the gospel of Christ, you will see that not just American Anglo kids, but also all nationals. Because these kids, Generation Z, they don't care that they love, they embrace diversity just by nature. So they can be a missionaries. So schools, don't overlook that schools. And lastly, religious sites like mosques, Hindu temples. In the Triangle area that I live, there are at least two different Hindu temples. They're big and huge, and there's almost 10,000 Indians, Hindus living in the Mooresville area. So try to check out those religious sites as well. Just visit them and try to learn what they do, engage with the people. So these are just the basic ideas. You can have more different ideas. You can be creative. Now we have strategic coordinators. If you haven't met them, you can please stop by their booth. What they do is they are working for 10 pockets of lostness, and they will help you to identify who your neighbors are. So if you tell where you live, and they will direct you to the strategy coordinator who works for your area, and they can tell you right away, like in your area, in your city, you have this people group, like Thai-speaking people group. You have the Indians and Afghans, and they'll tell you right away, right? So you can go from there. So please, if you don't have those information, please use this day today as to get that information. It will start the conversation for your church. Okay, now, so you got the idea, you got the information about your community, and you have a special feeling that God is calling you or your church to reach out to this particular people group, right? Then the next step you can think is to identify the ethnic churches in your area. For example, if you want to reach out to a Laotian group in your area, the next step would be, do we have Laotian church in my area? Or do we have Laotian churches nearby my county, my town? Okay. So number one, find out ethnic churches in your area that matches people group you are trying to reach. Okay. Now second, I think this is very, very important. Learn about that church. Spend some time with the church leader and get to know them. Get to know how this church works and who they are and things like that. So I'm going to spend some time to explain general characteristics of ethnic churches, especially in Asian context. So understand ethnic churches. Many of them are very vibrant. Their music is pretty vibrant and Oh, they actually clap their hands, dance, right? They're mission-minded because, you know, they're coming from different countries, and they're here. They want to reach out to their people groups, and so they're mission-minded, or they can reach out to the people outside of their people groups as well. However, as I said, there's a conflict between first and second generation, very, very common, so that there's a lack of next-generation leaders. So we have a pros and cons. The ethnic churches are thriving, but also struggling, just like any other churches. Just, I want to show some graphs here. What's going well? The blue, sky blue bar is second generation. The upper bar is the first generation. You can see that, but a huge difference between first generation and second generation is the small group. Second generations are much more cliquish, and they do a lot of small group, but first generations are not really. But anyway, the second generations are thriving for that one. The opportunities, second generations have a huge opportunities for church planting. Actually, they have a desire to plant churches among their Asian, Pan-Asian groups and all. By the way, we have a guy from North America Mission Board. They just hired a second generation church planting catalyst. His name is Chris Wong. So I just saw him sitting in the booth. So if you get a chance, catch him and talk with him and talk about and get to know him and get some ideas about second generation church planting. So yeah, the college, marriage and all. So there are many opportunities, outreach opportunities, almost equal between first and second gen. The challenges, I think the biggest challenge is a leadership development. As you can see, the second generations are definitely struggling with leadership development, 18%, whereas the first generation, 9%. Intergenerational, first generation is more struggling, as you can see. So these are the challenges, opportunities that ethnic churches are going through. And then there are four models, structures of ethnic churches. The first one is a traditional model, which is first-generation church is almost dictating second generations. That second-generation youth, college, children, they're all under first-generation umbrella. But again, the problem is the language. The first generations are all speaking Korean only, and these kids have no clue. I had a friend who is Korean-American pastor who hated going to Korean church because of that language barrier. But now he became a pastor. Empty nester model. This is what I found in one of our Hispanic churches. This church is using the Anglo church facility, the huge Anglo church. And this Hispanic congregation is about maybe 20 people, 25, very small. But they had the same issue. They have a children, next generation, but they were not speaking Spanish a lot. So this pastor felt the burden, like, we need to disciple these children, but they don't speak Spanish. What should we do? And then he got idea. Why don't we just send them to Anglo church? Because they all speak English, and my kids are speaking English. So at least for language, there will be no, you know, barrier. So they decided to send their children, youth, up to the Anglo church service. About 2 years later, 3 years later, things were going well in terms of discipling these children. They got to understand the sermon well, and they were actually growing spiritually, which is good. They even served in the worship team and all. So I think the Anglo church was very receptive for these people. But the problem is, these kids who went to Anglo church, they never came back to their parents' churches. Never came back. They never came back and serve for their parents' churches. So I asked this pastor, how do you feel? Like, we feel so hurt. We're like empty nest that they just moved on and they never came back. So that's an empty nester model. Whereas there's a side-by-side model. There's a first-generation church, second-generation church. They use the same facility. They use some of the funds and financial portion, but they're almost function as a separate church. They have a separate pastors, and this English pastor and first gen pastor, second gen pastor, they have almost equal authority. So, but they are using the facility together. So it works somehow well. There's a good example in Raleigh area, but at the same time, they don't go beyond their ethnic bubble. They just kind of stay in their facility together. The last model I see is a second generation leading model. This is an opposite to the traditional model, which is first gen leading everything. This is an opposite. That second gen is leading everything, but the second gen is reaching out to the first generation, the ethnic groups. I told you about this Korean American pastor who ran away from Korean church. He is this one. He planted church, second generation led church, but he has a heart for the world, the nations. So he reached out to Iranian and Syrians, Afghans, and those refugee groups. They're first generations, right? So they're reaching out to these people, different people groups. So not all of them are perfect. I'm not saying one is perfect or one is better than the others, but just wanted to show you what kind of ethnic church models they exist at this moment. So try to understand what's going on with this ethnic churches. Without knowing them, this is very possible. Without knowing their context, it is very possible that you can impose your style, your church structure onto this ethnic churches, which is not relevant. So understand their context so that you can work better with them. Number three, develop a relationship with ethnic churches. It's all about relationship, right? It's all about relationships. So number one, meet the key leaderships of ethnic churches, like this gentleman, key leaders. Just a few days ago, I met a pastor in Burlington. We met in Zaxby at a very nice restaurant, right? And then he said he has a Burmese group. Laotian group. And they don't have pastor, but have a good leader. And this pastor said, how can we help this Burmese group meeting in my church? Laotian group. And I told him, I have a perfect person to connect you. So right away I connected Pastor Bunyong, he's a Laotian coordinator, to this pastor. The Zaxby pastor. So they began the conversation, and they're working together to help out this Laotian group in Burlington. So, yeah, meet the key leaderships of ethnic church, pastor or elder, and get to know their personal life and ministry vision and needs of the church. And visit their worship service, right? And also, most Asian churches, most ethnic churches, after their worship service, they always have meal, right? Which is good. So expect to worship in different languages. Don't expect that they will worship in English. They will not. They do. They don't. They will. They will use their own beautiful languages for the worship. And sometimes they don't have translation. So you just sit down, sit there, and just watch. Ask the Lord to give you the gift of interpretation so you can understand. But anyway, that's what's happening. Even, I speak Korean, but when I visit my friend's church, I just sit there. I just appreciate their language. I just appreciate their, willingness to worship the Lord, and I appreciate that God has brought them together, worship in different languages. That's just a glimpse of the heaven, right? We'll all worship God. Many tongues and many nations will all the worship. So that's an exciting thing. So venture to visit their ethnic churches and just sit there and just enjoy it. Enjoy, yeah. Okay, number three, invite. Now this is the reverse. The invite ethnic church leaders to your church worship service, okay, and introduce them to the congregation, right? It's just before the preaching, you can just introduce them. This is a pastor such and such, and he works for this church. And just introduce them so that your congregation will get to know them, and you can start the relationship in that way. So it's not just you and the ethnic pastor, but it will be a connection, relationship building, your church, right? Your church and this ethnic churches, because that's much more powerful when the ethnic church and your church work together. That's even more powerful. So, and plan joint worship or fellowship, such as Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah, last the Saturday I was at the Southside Baptist Church in just Greensboro, right here, and they had Montagnard Thanksgiving dinner. And the lead pastor and the lead pastor of the South Valley Baptist Church and their congregations also joined this fellowship. So we had a Montagnard pastors and leaders, and they're all being together in the sanctuary. And then after maybe 2 or 3 hours worship service, and then we went down and we had a great Vietnamese food, cuisine all together. So, I mean, just explore those type of things. Yeah, just have some good gatherings. And this type of gatherings will gradually generate the close relationship between those churches. Okay. And lastly, reach the community together for Christ. These are some just ideas. Prayer walk together in the ethnic community. You know, when you go out, just invite these ethnic church leaders together, congregation together. Let's go, go together and pray together. Maybe prayer style may be different. Koreans praying all together loud. Everyone just shout together. And American style is taking turn, right? So you may experience some different styles, but that's okay. You know, try to be more intentional working together, even starting with the prayer walking, right? Prayer walk together. Introduce and be introduced to key ethnic leaders in the community. We have a Pakistani coordinator. His name is Tamran Inayat. And then he does really good with this one. He takes 5 or 6 Anglo churches, and he takes these church leaders together and go around Muslim communities. And this the Pakistani pastor introduce imam or the mosque leaders to these church leaders so that they had a good conversation. But this imam trusted Tamran, so that because of that mutual trusted relationship, he got connected with this American churches. So try to work with this ethnic pastors, because the trust level from their communities is much higher for these people. So that work through these key leaders to get connected to the key leaders of that community. Does this make sense? Yeah. And let ethnic church leaders, members lead the conversation. Number one reason, language, of course. Let them be an interpreter, translator for you, right? So that you will not have a language barrier. Because when you just jump in and try to get connected, just don't think that these ethnic communities can all speak English. That's not the case. Some of them are struggling. It doesn't matter, they lived in 15 years and 20 years, but I've seen a lot of Korean people don't speak English well. So, yeah. Understand the dynamic there. Help ethnic churches to form a relationship with the community, especially the first generation immigrant, because these ethnic churches are closely working with first generation immigrants because they speak their language and all of that. So try to use them strategically to reach out to these first generation immigrants. At the same time, provide second generation resources, like from your church. You can help these ethnic churches through elementary, youth, and young adults program at your church. But don't make them as an empty nester church. Try to work together, but provide the resources. But at the same time, you can have these ethnic churches to help you. For example, in my church, we teach the refugees ESL, English as a second language, because they all need one. But there's another church who is also reaching out to the refugees. They let refugees to teach their languages in their Anglo church. For example, they have an Arabic class so that a Syrian refugee or Egyptian refugee, they speak different style of Arabic. But anyway, they teach Arabic to, for example, American congregation who are passionate for reaching Muslims, reaching Arabic-speaking people, or like future missionaries who will serve in the Middle East. What a great opportunity, right? So you can be bilingual and trilingual, right? So try to work together with the refugees. There's so many different ways you can work together. And other ideas, Some churches, some Anglo churches, ethnic Anglo churches hire ethnic pastor or leader as a part or full-time staff at the church. Now, not all ethnic churches are the same. They're all different. Again, you need to understand the context. Let me give you an example. For example, there's the Japanese people. In Japanese people in Jacksonville, there are 2,000 Japanese people, but 99% of all Japanese people living there, they're all women. Because they're married to a Marine in Okinawa, and they all, you know, live in the military base in Jacksonville. So this Japanese woman, mostly they're elderly, like 50, maybe 50 would be the youngest. But since they don't have a lot of Japanese male, and their husbands are going to American church, Anglo church, this woman, Japanese woman, ladies, they just go to their husband churches, but everything is in English. So this woman are not fed spiritually because they don't understand English sermon. So there's a Japanese coordinator who lives in Jacksonville. He leads a Japanese woman Bible study who comes from all different Anglo churches, right? But this church, because it's just a Bible study, it's not a Japanese church. So this Japanese pastor is not supported, I mean financially supported by the church because he doesn't have one. So he works, I mean, he's a part-time staff at Living Hope Baptist Church in Jacksonville. That's a predominantly Anglo church, but this church hired the pastor Nemoto, the Japanese pastor, to really support him to work for this Japanese woman, Japanese population. So each church has a different context. So when you understand, when you get to know these ethnic churches, you'll find out how my church can help this ethnic pastor or this church to be more effective to work together to reach the community. I mean, the purpose is to reach the community with the gospel of Christ. But to get there, to move from A to B, you need to find out how we can, what we should do, either through hiring person, either through helping, whatever it's a prayer support, financial support, whatever that is, you know. And open the class to learn their languages. Yeah, I already told you about that. And let them cook their meal. Yeah, South Asian night and Thai food night. That'll be fun. Let them cook. Yeah, don't cook their food. You can scare them away. I mean, you can learn from YouTube and all, but yeah, they will say, oh, it's cute. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, the food is always good. Food brings people, you know. Right? So, help with immigration status if you can. The worst question you can ask to immigrants is, where are you from? I made a mistake a lot. Because there may be some people think you are like, do you work for IRS or INS? Are you checking my record and things like that? It's a very sensitive issue, especially these days. But for some, somehow you found out. By building relationship, and you found out that this person is illegal, and what should I do? And if you have a system in your church, help with this immigration status. And we also, the state convention, we have a contract workers, Larry Phillips. He works for the immigration. So if you have a specific question about that, please shoot me an email. I will connect you to him so he can answer some of the questions, how you can help your ethnic groups that you're ministering to. Now, plan overseas mission trip to go together with the ethnic church leaders. I'm so excited about this. Let's say if you want to travel to Laos. Again, this is even more challenging. Now you are buying $2,000 airplane tickets, and you are so pumped up and you're so passionate, but you have no clue how to speak their language, right? But you have great ethnic leaders. You can go with them. So you can work through them. You can work with them. So you can be a great tag team to work together in overseas there. But when you come back here, your relationship would be even much greater. And you will have a both overseas and here connection through these ethnic churches to really reach the nations for gospel of Christ. So think big, think outside of the box. See the potential of these ethnic churches. Their potential is amazing. They are the bridge between here and there. They are the bridge between majority and minorities. So please don't overlook the potential that they have so that we can maximize the opportunities to reach the nations. Yeah. So yesterday I was leading a breakout session in Korean. That's my I think that was the first attempt to even start something in annual meeting, during the annual meeting, in different language other than English and Spanish. I want that to be even more in the future, like the breakout sessions in Laotian and Arabic, and you know, so we can have more ethnic leaders to join our convention annual meeting. So we can see that we're not separated, we're not in silo, but we're all in this together to reach the nations for Christ. And that's what God wants us to do, right?